Abundant Life Foursquare Church presents to you a message of hope, grace, and power of Jesus. We trust that you will be inspired by the Word of God as we grow together in Christ.
If you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's easy to find. It's right behind 1 Corinthians. That's right. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, it's right there. So I'd like to talk a little bit about, as we continue our series on fortifying our faith. This passage is probably one of my favorites because of there are four just absolutely amazing statements we're going to look at in just a moment, but because of these statements, but also because of what's behind it. You know, let me give you a little history about it before we actually look at the passage itself. We are in a place in 2 Corinthians where, again, this is a letter written to the church under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote it. And when you understand at this moment when he's writing this letter, there is tremendous controversy going on. The Apostle Paul has faced some unbelievable challenges at this point, and he's coming sort of the end of his ministry. When he's writing this, he recognizes, he'll say later on, I realize that soon I'm going to be with the Lord. Of course, not realizing how that would happen because he was murdered, as many of the apostles were when you look at what happened to their lives, that he was coming to an end and it was time for him to go home. But as he wrote this letter, he wrote it realizing that he was speaking to the church and encouraging us as well out of his own life experience. And obviously under the direction of the Holy Spirit, there is so much here. You got to understand that part of the controversy that was going on is that he had said to the church, I'm going to come back, but then changed his mind, so to speak, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, said, I'm not going to be able to make it. The church was angry with him. I mean, they were a little frustrated with him. There were a number of things going on, and there was a lot of challenges as to, so, gee, why are you not coming? You sent us a letter instead of showing up, and they were a little frustrated with it. Matter of fact, if you look at it, you begin to see, look at in chapter 4, I don't have this on the overhead, but as you're looking at this chapter 4, verse 1, you see something very important. It says, therefore, Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So he's going back, and he's, if you look at the previous chapter, a lot of what I've just said is mentioned there. And he says, okay, in conclusion, therefore, since we, and he's talking about himself and the others, have this mercy, really this, remember we talked about mercy, the chesed, the love, the loving kindness of God here? He says, since we have this, as we have received mercy, as we receive the commitment, the chesed of God, he says, we do not lose heart. Now, let me translate that, what that means. It means, you know, we do not lose heart means we do not give up. And so he's saying here, in the midst of all these things that I'm facing, in the midst of all these things that are challenging me, you know what? I'm not giving up, and neither should you. Now look, if you jump ahead, because it's interesting, sandwiched in between two very powerful statements is our passage, 7 through 10. Now go to verse 16. There it is again. Therefore, again, he says in conclusion to the things that we're going to be reading here in a moment, we do not lose heart. And I love what he says. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And then he says, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, as you understand that, you'll understand why I have that statement there, because that is our first principle. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength that fortifies our faith. Can we say that out loud together as we read it? Ready? Begin. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength that fortifies our faith. That is a critical understanding for anyone who is a believer. If you're new, you have to understand how is it that you are able to get through the tough times, the struggles, the challenges. I think one of the mistakes that we can make, especially until we understand what we have in Christ, and those of you that are more mature in the faith should, again, be encouraged again by this, to be reminded of it. It's not by the force of our personality, the determination of our will, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that gets us through the tough times. Now, I'm not diminishing the fact that there is something within you and we can understand and recognize that you may have a strength in you. But we have to understand that that strength is fragile. And the reality is the only real way that you and I are going to get through some of the scary moments of, well, like I was talking to someone about upcoming surgery, you know, really anxious about it. And we talked about the fact that it's okay to be anxious. That's human. That's normal. But to also know that God will give you faith and strength to get through it, even though you are being a normal human being, feeling a little anxious about it. You and I have to understand that so many things can come into our life that challenge us. Health issues, financial issues. I mean, we live in a world, I was just thinking about people who Friday got their first paycheck with nothing in it. And that whole furlough that's occurred for, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And I thought to myself, man, what would I do? I would struggle deeply thinking I didn't get a paycheck. That would be really difficult, even though, I mean, many try to prepare for it, do the best they can. We're hearing some of the stories. And what do you say to someone like that? Well, you got to be real and you say, I know it's a struggle. I know it's going to be difficult. But you know what? There is a power, if you're a believer, that's in you that will get you through this. Even though it may not be easy, you got to realize the Word of God says we are not going to be void of challenges in life. We are not going to skip over some of the life experiences that are true to every human being. The difference is we get on the other side. And we get on their side well. That is part of the difference of being a believer, is that we can go through some of these things and see the other end of it because we understand there is a strength that gives and fortifies our faith that is beyond us. And we must understand it, commit to it, declare it, and live it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, our faith is strengthened. Can you say amen to that? Now, if we look at the passage in a moment, I wanted to illustrate a little bit more of the power of what can happen. Now, Brent here is going to help me out a little bit, and you'll notice a couple of aluminum cans that are very important. He's going to heat those cans up, and in a moment, you are going to see them. There's a little bit of water in there. We're actually doing a scientific experiment right now, and what we're going to do is we're going to heat that water up in those cans. It'll take a couple moments. And when they are steaming and hot, he's going to do something to demonstrate some of the a key principle to what we're here for today. Now, some of you may already know what might happen, but we're going to take these very hot cans right now. I can see they're steaming. Man, this will really happen, aren't they? Yeah, just about there. And we're going to put it into this bowl of water. And you're going to watch something happen that is absolutely amazing. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Everyone, okay, safety glasses on. Okay. So, okay. Okay. Okay, that's okay. Let's try it again. Oh, there we go. See, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Can you smell that? Okay. Look at this. Look at this. What happened? Thank you, almost Pastor Brent. So what happened? Oh, you can smell it, right? It'll go away in a minute. We'll put the exhaust fans on. So what happened? Those of you who are science-oriented, what just happened? What happened to this can? Why did this can crush? Because it's a crush can? No. Oh, some of you got it. Yay. Okay, I didn't waste my money on the buying those crushed orange. So why did this can, when it heated up and we put it into the water, did it crush? So let me help you out. I think I heard something about a change in air density. Yes. Because what happened is as the water inside heated the can, the air inside the can became lighter than outside. And there was a change in pressure. And so the minute this can was immersed into the colder temperature water, the change in the density and the pressure crushed this can. And I thought, isn't that the way of life? That every now and then, there are pressures that seek to crush us. But it didn't destroy it, did it? Now, the good news is, what a great recycling technique. Can you say amen on that? We are all understanding the importance of recycling. And so can you imagine this would be a fun way for your kids to recycle aluminum cans? Now, you have to do it for them, though. You can't let them do it themselves. But I remember my boys, we had more aluminum cans recycled in our house than you could have believed. But I want you to begin to see how it is that what the scripture is telling us is that there is a fortification of our faith that so much of the world around us tries to crush us, tries to overwhelm us, tries to, you know, if you will, implode our lives. I mean, we can think of, I've had this conversation just even from today alone. Several conversations with people who are sharing with me as their pastor saying, look, I'm feeling like things are overwhelming right now. And so this really does apply to many of us. So let's take a look now at the scripture here. And again, starting at chapter 4, verse 7. Now, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars or aluminum cans containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves, right? We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. There is a lot of information there. So you have to begin to understand, we're talking about the fragile clay jars. I have a number of clay jars here. Now we have to understand some things because the Word of God is comparing us to a clay jar. Now let's talk about that for a second because when you think about it, what do we know about clay jars? Well, it breaks easily. At the time this was written, this was the common, utility, the pot or the pan or the cup that was used of the time. You know, they didn't have, in case you didn't know this, they didn't have aluminum or Tupperware or glass. They had clay. And so clay was the common everyday item that was used by most people. Now, there were a few that had the fancy stuff, which might have been made out of, you know, special wood or marble, or maybe even gold or silver. But for everybody, most everyone used this kind of material. And the Bible says that, therefore, this clay is representative of us. Now, so what we learn, let's look at the next slide. What we learn here is that the treasure is in the jars of clay. What is that treasure? The Holy Spirit, God's grace, abundant life, eternal life, light, and the love of God. Now, as you can see here, what's so special about the jars of clay? Nothing. Because the jars of clay represent us. So the scripture is saying there's nothing special about you. What makes you special is what's inside of you. Now listen, I know in the world we live in today, there's a lot of kind of discussion like, well, I need to be special, I want to be special, those kinds of things. And I'm not diminishing that concept entirely, but for us as believers in Jesus, that's dangerous. Because what makes us special, what the Word of God is saying, what makes the difference for us, it's what's in us. And when you have believed and received Jesus, you have been given the Holy Spirit of God inside of you that becomes resident in you. And that which is in you becomes what changes everything. Again, the idea that somehow our personality, there is such a move today to have celebrity status. I mean, how many people, it's all about how many likes I can get on Facebook or how many people will look at my Instagram. I mean, it seems like right now we live in a world today that we are challenged by how much attention can I get, as if somehow that will provide worth and value. The Word of God says, be careful. That's dangerous. That can take you down a dangerous road. Because what makes you special as a believer is what's in you. And so the Word of God is starting, because when the tough stuff starts coming, let me tell you something, your personality will not be enough. Your will not be enough. Your intelligence will not be enough. Your skills and ability will not be enough. They're all good. And I wouldn't minimize them for a second, but when it really gets difficult and challenging and you're facing surgery or you're facing health issues or huge financial issues, and you think, okay, I am feeling overwhelmed or anxious or all these kinds of emotions we might feel, what's going to get you through? The paycheck? You know, the special class? The book you're going to read? You know, the TED talk you're going to listen to? No. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I living that way is critical to our success. And really what the Apostle Paul is saying is that he got that. He got it because he lived it. He understood he was nothing more than clay. And what made the difference was Jesus in him. You know, when you begin to read about the Apostle Paul and you read about his life, and a matter of fact, in this very same letter, he is going to do some more. Let me just read to you some of the things he wrote and kind of sharing with you the things that he faced and dealt with. I'm in chapter 11 right now, so just listen to this. I'm reading from the Message. It's very, I like how it describes it. It says, I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count. At death's door, time after time, I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. Now, you can understand what that means. This is a whip with glass in it. This is the kind of stuff that tears apart your back. This is the kind of thing that can kill you. And he says he's been through that 5 times, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, plummeted with rocks 1 time. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. I mean, you got to realize when he says that, who knows, they didn't have rafts back then. They didn't have life jackets back then. He's sitting here for apparently 24 more hours, sitting in the open seas, trying to stay alive. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun, sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many long and lonely nights without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked in the weather, and that's not half of it. We should read this first before you get into ministry, right? We might think again about that. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches, when someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an anger, a fire burns in me. And he says, I'm nothing but a clay jar. But how do I get through this? It's because of what's in that clay jar. How have I survived a shipwrecked life? You ever talk to someone that you would say, sounds like your life is a shipwreck or a train wreck? And how it is that you get through that? Listen, by the grace of God. And that's the word for you and I. That in the midst of all this, The word is making it so clear. This is critical to the church today. It is not about you. It is about Jesus. It will never be about you. It will always be about Jesus. And we must be very careful to hold that line, to not allow anything else to be other than the fact that Jesus in me. You got to know, the only reason I keep going is because Jesus in me. Of all the things that I have faced in life, and nothing like the Apostle Paul, but there have been things in my life that have come my way. Why is it I'm still standing here almost 30 years later? Not because of my stubbornness, some might disagree with that, but not because of my determination of will or personality, but because God has directed that, and by His grace and His command, I'm still here. And that is what God wants for you as well, every day of your life. Can you say amen to that, church?
Amen.
Now, what we know about jars of clay is that they're ordinary and they're fragile. Now, the question came to me, and I wonder if you'd think about it. So why would God store something so valuable in a container, so ordinary and fragile? Because if that is contained in this ordinary jar of clay, how much more glory does He get? Because, again, the Word is saying, to Him be all the glory, not to us. And when you realize how fragile and ordinary, does that sound uncomfortable that I'm telling you you're ordinary? Every one of us, we're ordinary people. We're just human beings. And the difference, the amazing difference, is you've received Jesus Christ, and He put in you His Spirit. And all of a sudden, you are extraordinary. Not because of what you've done or what you or who you, whatever you think you might have accomplished, but because of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is saying that's critical, that we understand that it is something that is stored in us so that the life and the light can just brilliantly shine through us. I love that. I hope you would love that and recognize that's a strength, not a deficit. It is something that helps us keep going. And we can look at people when someone says, how in the world are you getting through this? And I love talking to some of our people who are struggling with some real issues with cancer and other health issues, and talking to one young lady, how are you getting through this? And she said, by the grace of God. And so thankful for the support around her. But ultimately, what is it that gets her up every day? You know, I can hear a lot of moms saying, well, it's my children. It's I've got this or that. And again, that might be true. And I'm not saying that's a negative. But I know that as she's talking as a mom, she's saying, what really gets me up is Jesus in me. And how often could that be true for her? How do I get to work in the midst of everything that I'm facing right now? How do I handle a furlough where I don't know when it's going to end and I don't have money? How do I get up the next day and not, as someone was telling me in the other service, you know what? You're right, Pastor, because if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd still be in bed till 1 o'clock. Because I feel how overwhelming. I feel the pressures of life and I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go out of the house. I don't want to face what I think I might face, but because of Jesus, I get up. You know, God just wants to pour His life into us, and He wants us to understand the container isn't that important. It's what's inside of it. I had an interesting experience a while ago, but I'd made a special dinner, and I remember working really hard for this dinner, and I don't know if you ever had this Hungarian sweet and sour stuffed cabbage. My mom taught me how to do that. That was one of those recipes that I will never forget. It's a long recipe. It takes several hours to do this well and to cook it up. And so I worked hard and I put this thing together. And because it was so special, I put it in a really, I have a couple that I got from my grandma, some really amazing containers that are like real gold kind of thing, you know, and I put them in there because I wanted to really impress my guests. So I put it down in front of them, and You know how it is, it made a dramatic, I mean, I'm not a chef, but you know, there's one thing I can cook, sweet and sour Hungarian stuffed cabbage. And I pulled that baby up and I'm just waiting for the accolades to come. And the first thing they said was, that is one amazing bowl. So since that experience, I always serve my Hungarian sweet and sour stuffed cabbage in disposable tin foil. Because the container should never distract from what's inside. Give some of that.
Amen.
This is what the Word is sharing with. Now, there are four amazing statements that are being declared to us. These are such amazing statements. These are statements that keep me going. You got to realize, Paul is writing these statements out because of everything he's been through. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Our English doesn't do justice to what he's saying here. I wish I could read this to you in the Greek, but let me describe what the meaning behind this, because when he talks about Lee's words, he says, I'm hard-pressed. Literally, he's saying, I am feeling crowded out of life. It's kind of like, have you ever been to a concert, and it's so crowded, you feel like you can't move? That's what he's saying. It's that crowded. There are so many people. It's like, I remember we were traveling in Japan, and they really do this. I was amazed, and my wife warned me. I mean, she was born and raised in Japan, and she warned me, and she said, they're going to push you into the train. And I said, no, they're not. She said, yes, they are. And the train was full, and I'm thinking, I'll wait for the next train. But then these amazing individuals came by and gently shoved me in. And I was being crowded into that train. There were so many people there, I thought, man, I am going to freak out. My faith and Jesus grew at that moment because, I mean, being around so many people, Paul is saying, I am feeling hard-pressed, but you know what? Not crushed. And literally he's saying, the weight is not coming in so much. He's saying, I am not giving up. Even though you're shoving me into a train, I am still not going to give up. We're perplexed. Literally, he's talking about mentally confused. Ever been so overwhelmed that your brain kind of freezes up and you're not quite sure what to do? Well, that's what the apostle is saying. He's come across these moments when it's difficult to make a decision. He is so right now feeling perplexed by what's going on. But he says, you know what? But not in despair. Literally saying, but you know what? It's not causing me to walk away. It may be a little bit overwhelming, where many of us might walk away at that moment thinking, I'm done. But because of the grace of God, he says, no, I'm hanging in there because I know it's going to pass. I know God's going to work this out. He says, we're persecuted. And I love that. Oh, that word does nothing when you just hear the word persecuted. Literally, it means I am being hunted down like an animal. So any of you have ever done hunting, you know what it's like where you're tracking an animal and you're gonna go get dinner. Well, he feels like there's an enemy out there literally tracking him down and he's going to be dinner. He feels persecuted to that extent. But he says, you know what? Even though I feel that way, because you remember what he said in chapter 11, I have my friends and my foes coming against me. I am literally facing persecution from people that are supposed to be loving me and people who I know shouldn't be loving me. And in the midst of all that, you know what? Yet I know something. I am not abandoned. And how is he not abandoned? It's not about the church at this moment. It's about Jesus. It's about the Spirit of God in him. And he's saying literally when he says, I am not abandoned, he's saying, you know what? I have not been forsaken. It's kind of like, you know, I love the military codes, the creeds that we often have. I remember the airman's code. Now, I'm an Air Force guy, so I apologize because I don't think there's a lot of us Air Force guys here. But I love the statement, I am an American airman, a wingman, a leader, a warrior. It says, I will never leave an airman behind. I will never falter. I will not fail. I thought that is the words of the Spirit of God to us. Because what did Hebrews tell us? Hebrews tells us that the Lord would never leave us nor forsake us. What a neat statement to say to someone, I will never leave you behind. If you were to fall, I will come back and get you. I will come back and pick you up. You will never be left behind in enemy lines. And if you think about it, every service, I believe, has a statement along those lines. Because they realize when you are a warrior and you are in battle, it's possible to be hit. And what an amazing kind of statement to know that you're never, ever going to be left behind. That ought to be the statement of the church. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure it is. I know, though, it is a statement of the Spirit of God. No matter whatever happens to you, God has made a promise to you that if you get, if you will, struck down, you will not be destroyed. If you are thrown off your feet, literally, that's what Paul was saying in this statement, struck down, literally, he's talking literally put to the ground. But here's the point, not dead. He was whipped 39 times, beaten by Roman rods, stoned, shipwrecked. You think about all the things that happened to him physically, and yet any one of us would have thought this would have killed anybody else. And why didn't it kill Paul? Because it wasn't his time yet. God had determined there was still more for him to do. And so God provided what was necessary for him to continue, even though he was going through so much physically. Carol sitting back there, I pointed her out in the first service, so I'm going to do it again in the second service because she's a hero of mine. Over 9 years ago, she was in one of the worst accidents that I think I could imagine. Many of us were there, and we know, we prayed. I was there the day of, and I saw her, and it was not great. And we weren't sure what was going to happen. Even the doctors weren't sure. But you know what? God's grace brought her through. And God's grace was so good, I still remember talking with Carol later on, and you know, I just said, you know, what are you going to do? She says, you know what? I'm going to get back on my bike and ride again. Because she was injured while riding her bike. I'm going to live life. I'm going to get back to the things I love. I said, so, and I love what she said. It was obviously a lot of hard work. I mean, all that she went through and everything. But, you know, I still remember it was her faith. You can ask her. She will tell you it was by the grace of God. And that empowered her to keep going. And I just got to tell you, that is something that is what exactly what Paul is saying. You know, church, you got to understand something. We are not given immunity to hardship because you're a believer. You know, you receive Jesus doesn't mean you get a pass on all the bad things of life. You know, just because you receive Jesus doesn't mean that you're not going to have knee surgery or hip surgery. You might even get cancer. You might face some things that you thought you would never face. And you, I can't tell how many times I said, God, not fair. Look at everything I've done for you. And I just don't even hear anything from God. Because you know what? God says, and I have to understand the word, because without saying a word, God is really directing me. He says, listen, I provided the resource you need. You're going to be fine. And the reality is someday you are going to be with me. Someday we are all going to be in eternity. That is something, I value that truth. That keeps me going knowing that no matter how beat up this body might get, the day is going to come because that is an important value. And that's one of the reasons why we don't give up, because there's an absolute certainty that I know exactly where I'm going. Where I'm looking forward to hanging out with you, most of you. I want you to know God takes absolutely no pleasure in your hardship. Don't even think for a second. God is not out to somehow cause pain in your life to see how good you are. That just isn't who our God is. But you know what? The choice is yours when you get hit. When you take a hit physically, emotionally, relationally, whatever it is, and you can see in the next slide here, the choice is ours. Whatever that challenging circumstance, here's the choice. Resource the power of God. I don't know. I can make a lot of other suggestions, and I help people work through a lot of different things. And there's lots of good things out there that we can learn to use. But ultimately, we are not crushed, abandoned, in despair, or destroyed because of the power of God. What the world sees and what the world needs to see is that we have something special inside of us, the life and the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And no matter what our circumstances in this life, we are to focus on God's grace and eternal values. Can you say amen to that? I want you to look at that last sentence again. That is a principle I want you to also add to your tool chest. That no matter what our circumstances in this life, we are to focus on God's grace and eternal values. You got to understand that this is what was being written to the church at Corinth. This is something that he's trying to let the church know. Listen, guys, it's not about you. There's a lot going on right now with the Roman Empire. There's a lot of challenges going on politically, economically. You and I face some similar things today. I mean, it's the parallels are absolutely amazing. But he's saying the ministry that I've given to you as a church is all about Jesus and not about us. And we must resist. Because you know what the Corinthian church was doing is they were creating celebrity leadership. They were thinking if we have more celebrity-type individuals, that somehow that would make the difference. And Paul is saying, you know, that's not going to make the difference. Because when it hits, and sometimes it hits hard, that's not what's going to get you through. What's going to get you through is the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what? God says, I chose you because you are clay. You're ordinary. You're fragile. This is an everyday utensil. Because I don't want you to think there's anything that you have, but by the grace and the power of God. And when this ordinary, everyday, fragile container has the power of God in it, let me tell you something. Amazing things will happen. And you will see another day. Can you say amen to that, church?
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.aofc.us or download our app. We hope that you will join us every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m.